You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Well, about 5 months from now, the Dallas Cowboys will be near the Pacific Ocean out where Yellow Card is from as they head on over to Oxnard, California for training camp. You can listen to this segment on the Blog and the Boys podcast feed, BTB, SB Nation's home for Dallas Cowboys content and coverage. I'm RJ Ochoa. He's James Pledger. Dan Cialana on the ones and twos. What's up, BTB? What's up, San Antonio? And, well, BTB, you didn't get to hear the Yellow Card bump. So sorry for you. But anyway, just pretend that you did. And pretend that things are not terrible this week for the Dallas Cowboys. This has been hot take week for the Cowboys. It started with Emmitt Smith.
Yeah.
Hot take. It kind of then graduated to the NFL itself. Okay, whatever. And
CBA, we're going to take your franchise tag and transition tag use, right, possibly.
And then really a hot take, but death, taxes, and NFL draft prospects doing whatever they can to create storylines for themselves. So to set the stage, Tua Tagovailoa, Alabama quarterback and the player thought to be the number one overall draft pick this year, a year ago, did a sit-down interview. Sit-down interview! I mean, this is, you know, they wrote...
Was that in Miami, too?
It looked like it. Because it was like on a hotel balcony or something. Yeah.
And there was the ocean in the background.
Right,
it was Steve Wyche of the NFL Network.
Steve Wyche, the great GOAT Steve Wyche. And... you know, again, this was they wheeled out the lights, you know what I mean? And then Tua's parents talked and stuff.
And there's a lot going on.
Of course. Even though this is a process where Tua has actually no say in what team he'll play for, he was asked, you know, if you did have some say, what team would you want to play for?
Have you started thinking about where you could end up or how this could play out?
We've looked at teams. You know, we've talked about teams. We've talked to teams. Somebody might trade up and you could possibly drop or you could possibly go higher. We've been talking about all those scenarios.
Is there any team you're looking at like, man, I'd be good in that system or that system?
If you're saying to me, if I could choose what team I want to play on as far as my favorite team growing up, I'd probably tell you the Cowboys, but, I mean, they're so far down.
Bump Dak Prescott.
No, I'm not trying to bump them. I'll learn under them, you know.
And you'd be willing to learn, but you know the fans are just waiting to get you in because you're such a popular young man.
Thank you.
How would you handle a dynamic like that?
I mean, I'd handle it the way that, you know, the coaches there want to handle it. You know, honestly, I just want to be able to play again.
I mean, he's willing to sit behind Dak Prescott and learn from Mike McCarthy.
If you're listening on BTB, this is what Pledge does.
What? What do I do?
So, like, the hot take here is a fireplace, right? And somehow you reach in with flame-repelling gloves and you close the vent, right? And then you just dump lighter fluid. And now the whole house is filled with smoke and it feels terrible. Look.
Well, the report broke today that the Lions are open to trading the number 3 pick.
Of course, I guarantee you the Bengals are open to trading the number 1 overall pick.
Look, yeah, but you don't need to get to 1.
But this is, this is classic. I mean, it really is classic that for
I wonder who Chase Young's favorite team growing up was.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like, every person loves the Cowboys growing up. That's the first thing. The second thing is this is a time of year where all of these young athletes need their names in the headlines as much as possible. What better way than to just say something like this?
I mean, Jacksonville. Don't they got the same kind of clout if he was to say, I grew up a Jacksonville fan?
You know, it was now 3 years ago that at an awards dinner in Dallas, Deshaun Watson, James Pledger, the Houston Texans fan, your quarterback,
yep,
he said to Jason Garrett at the time, hey, you know, come up and get me. I know that Dak had the year because this was in 2017, you know, but come up and get me. That same year, Myles Garrett, who was projected to go and did ultimately go number 1 overall, he made that video and he said, Jerry Jones, please trade Tony Romo, come get me. I mean,
wasn't that the year that Earl Thomas chased Garrett down in the tunnel too?
That would go on to happen later
that same season,
on Christmas Eve of 2017. So that hadn't happened yet.
And Johnny Manziel famously has
Johnny Manziel, Jalen Ramsey wanted to be a Cowboy, Zeke wanted to be a Cowboy. You know what I mean? Like this is the thing.
But is Tua.
The night before the 2016 draft, Zeke Elliott had a little meeting with his family and friends, and had a clip that was like, you know, let's go to bed and hope it's the Cowboys. You know what I mean? Like that's what you do, and that's all this is. And people are falling for it, hook, line, and sinker. And why? I mean, again, Dak has shown every reason to believe that he is one of the more promising young quarterbacks in the game. I don't know how people can be so ungrateful for something that is right there in the middle in front of their face.
I've started to swing my thought process because everybody continuously reminds me of the years between Romo and Aikman.
You don't even have to go that far.
With Henson and...
Yeah, and Testaverde. I mean, yeah, there's terrible. Quincy Bledsoe. Carter... Yeah, I mean, you don't. But again, just think about 5 years ago. Think about the season without
there's Brim Whedon, Matt Castle, and
the greatest offensive coordinator in NFL history, Kellen Moore. That's right, yeah. Yes.
Who won a game, by the way?
He did not.
Didn't he beat the Jets?
He did not. They lost to the Jets. The one win that the 2015 Cowboys had without Tony Romo starting at quarterback was on Monday Night Football when Matt Castle beat the Washington Redskins.
Okay.
Dan Bailey.
Well, he had a 300-yard passing game then. That was it.
Kellen Moore, also against the Washington Redskins, had like, I think it might be the most yards ever thrown for in a single game by a Cowboys quarterback. That was in Week 17.
Yeah.
But the Cowboys lost that game like 41-15 or something. It was bad.
But I'm starting to swing in terms of, yes, those are very tough circumstances. But look at the free agent quarterbacks just this year. Just this year.
Okay.
You've got Ryan Tannehill, Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers,
none of those
Teddy
options
Bridgewater.
Sound intriguing at all.
Andy Dalton. But these are
none of those sound even halfway
these are
intriguing.
All quarterbacks that can lead an NFL team and if placed
what?
In the right situation
Why?
With enough talent can lead a team to playoff success.
What on earth suggests that that is true?
You have more quarterbacks coming in every single year that are more ready to play. Look at Watson and Mahomes and
sure.
Lamar Jack. Like, the quarterback learning curve has become shorter because of the implementation of college systems to help get them on the field quicker. And also just the way the game's kind of changed, plus 7-on-7s, and the way quarterbacks are kind of groomed now coming in. You got Trevor Lawrence next year. Like, the quarterback classes, the learning curves become smaller for them. Therefore, for the first time in however long, we're seeing this influx of possible free agent quarterbacks, in which Dak Prescott is one of them. And
it's insulting to put Dak in the same company as Andy Dalton and Teddy Bridgewater and Marcus Mariota. And I don't think that any of them, I don't think there's any reason to believe that any of them are capable of leading a team to the playoffs.
But you can also see Cam Newton move this offseason. Derek
true.
Carr move this offseason.
Again, two guys that I would take Dak over. What,
sure.
What reasons
I'm not saying you wouldn't take them over them. I'm just saying the amount of quarterback movement is showing that the influx of quarterbacks is so great.
The argument that you're presenting to me makes sense if we're talking about the Carolina Panthers. If the option is, well, should we stick this out with Cam? Should we try to figure this out? Or should we roll some dice? And the Panthers, I think, are an extreme example because they're in a clear rebuild with Matt Rhule and everything. But that's the difference here to me. Dak is in a different category than all these dudes, even present-day Tom Brady. I mean, Dak is still ascending.
Mm-hmm.
Every quarterback you've mentioned has already seen their peak. And so, I mean, if it was any of those situations, I would totally agree with you. But I don't know why you want to, you know, get off this awesome ride in hopes that the next one is going to be even greater.
Well, the reason you do it is because of the rookie pay scale on quarterbacks. Because
sure.
It allows you to keep the roster in place the way currently constructed, continue to build through free agency and the draft with better pieces around said quarterback.
But
let me ask you this.
Hold on. Because that's a good point. But the Dallas Cowboys just had that situation.
Yes,
they did.
And they missed.
And we didn't see them take any advantage of it. So what on earth gives you the confidence to believe that they would? I mean, if they hypothetically said, you know what, let's move on from Dak, somehow got Tua, there's no reason to believe that they would suddenly be different.
You know this number better than I probably, but there is a certain percentage of the salary cap that when a quarterback exceeds it, that team, like those teams do not, A, win Super Bowls, and B, usually they start to have pieces and parts subtracted to them, making said team worse.
This is also a ridiculous argument. I know you're not making that argument specifically because the cap continues to rise.
So do salaries, but I believe
that in 2011, that the offseason prior to that, Eli Manning had signed a long-term contract extension that fit this, oh no, quarterbacks never win it with that percentage. But the next year, when the cap had risen, his percentage diminished, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. So he did sign for that percentage at the time, and they still pulled it off, but it doesn't look that way because the math changes.
Mm-hmm.
And so, again, I also think this is a ridiculous argument because Drew Brees fits into that club. He was a missed call away potentially from the Super Bowl a year ago. Aaron Rodgers fits into that club. And so are you saying
there are exceptions to the rules, of course, with certain quarterbacks.
Dak is closer to the exception than he is to the point that start. Yes, he's without doubt further. Or if the extremes here are the exception club, which is your Aaron Rodgers is, or the let's start over club, which is your Andy Dalton's, Dak is without question much closer to the exception club than the start over club. And that's the internal decision you have to make.
The reason I say this is because the advantage that you have working with a quarterback on a rookie pay scale, right, is extreme.
And one the Cowboys apparently do not know how to take advantage of. And you look at the financial decisions that the Cowboys have made for a long time. There again, I mean, with this team specifically, there's no, I mean, frankly, there's no reason to believe that they know what they're doing.
The point I'm making is the quarterbacks, because we see the free agent class this year, we see the type of quarterbacks that are coming into the draft. Like, the year of the quarterback, and it's not even the year of the quarterback, it's just the possibility of finding a quarterback that you can put pieces around and win with seems at an all-time high just because of the way that the sport is changing.
It seems
and with
that
the way,
way
the
but who does it?
That's the problem. You have to, whenever there's a shift, like when people started going away from running backs, the Cowboys brought them back to it by taking Zeke as high as they did, correct?
They did.
So there has to be a team that's willing to step out on that ledge and take that risk.
But that risk that you're talking about, and it's an interesting debate.
It's a big risk.
It's the biggest possible risk in the game. It truly is. Let's go to the Kielbasa Bacon phone lines. They are open, 656-3776-656 ESPN. Good friend, Steve Foster. Foss, happy Saturday morning to you, sir.
Man, I'm loving the debate. Gentlemen, I'm glad your listeners get to hear what I get to hear when I am talking to y'all, and we're just chopping it up. Pledger, I have got to say that you sound like me 2.0. I cannot agree with you more on a subject matter than what you put out today. And RJ, I understand your point, but you've said some things about if there's no difference between having a Tua, let's say, we'll work backwards, and Dak, your salary cap is completely different.
That's
which
true.
Which allows you other pieces. And again, I think the Cowboys are ready. If they have a serviceable quarterback that can move through the season with other pieces around it, you can win some playoff games. Because one or two things after listening to y'all is going to be true. Either the head coach they had prior just couldn't do it, and leadership starts at the top down, and forget Jerry because he's going nowhere. Or you have to find a quarterback that can make some clutch plays. And I still think today's Tom Brady's better than today's Dak Prescott or a couple of those other folks that were listed. Just because, again, regular season and playoffs are completely different. You've also identified, I believe correctly, the elites that are happening now. And again, I'm a homer like you, RJ, on the Cowboys. But if you really want to strike and strike quick, Pledger's given, I think, very sound rationale that there are quarterbacks out there that you can take and then draft, because they are coming out of college much more readily available to play in the NFL. Fellas, always great to hear y'all's voices. And listeners, these guys know what they're talking about.
Foss, love you, Foss.
Appreciate the call. Have a great weekend.
Catch him tomorrow.
That's right. You can listen to Steve Foster from 8 to 11?
9 to noon.
On Laying Down the Law on ESPN San Antonio. It feels like 8 to 11.
And
I know that.
I will say this. I believe if you put the pieces around, Andy Dalton could lead this Cowboys team to a Super Bowl.
No,
but this is what I'm going to...
The 2019 season proves that that's not true.
This is what I'm going to close with. Like, because you keep saying Dak's closer to this than that. We've seen Dak when his weapons were pretty much stripped away and they needed to go find him an Amari Cooper to make him... to salvage that season.
Why is Dak the only person that is held responsible for that season?
But he's not given
any of the success for this past season.
Because he's the quarterback, and the quarterback takes all the blame and gets all the success.
But how come we're saying, oh, that 2018, the first half, clearly shows that Dak Prescott has a problem. But everything since then does not show that Dak Prescott is good.
And if
Amari really is that valuable, then why are we not lining up to pay him first?
Well, Dak, being as great as he was, still led this team to an 8-8 season last year. When we were talking Super Bowl caliber talent on this team, he managed to only lead them to 8-8 and missing the playoffs.
And my point is that I think we misevaluated the 2019 team, and that's the harder pill to swallow, is that this is not a roster that is necessarily Super Bowl ready, but that is a discussion for a different day. Once again, you can and you should listen to this segment on the Blog on the Boys podcast feed. BTB, we love you. ESPN San Antonio, we love you. We will be back right after this on the Saturday Morning Hangout.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.